Thank you. Every Sunday morning, we come together to commemorate, contemplate, and consider truth. The truth about God and the truth about us. We proclaim that God is, and beside Him, there is none else. We readily declare our statement of being. God is all, both invisible and visible. One presence, one mind, one power is all. Then we claim that we are ever one with this perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance. And at that moment, I dare say that yes, we do believe that this is so. However, let us think about what it is we are announcing for ourselves. If we are truly one with perfection, then shouldn't that be our demonstration? Perfect life, perfect love, perfect substance should all manifest in our daily living. Our actions, our words, and our deeds, they should all bear witness to our reality, that we are indeed that perfect being. Now I have to ask the question, are any of us able to look around and declare that this is so? That we are actually looking at and bearing witness to a state of perfection? Would any of us describe our thoughts, our words, and actions as perfect or flawless? When we view life through the lens of the human eye, that one of physical sight and judgment, we behold opposites. Then we proceed to assign qualities to what we see. We call some of the things good, other things bad. We name things according to our belief and experience, giving power to our attitude of acceptance. We have also noticed that as we travel through life, that our ideas and our concepts about life change, and we do develop a new set of beliefs, a new attitude of acceptance. We call this activity mental work. We busy ourselves with the changing scenes of opposites, shifting back and forth from lack to abundance, from sickness to health, and back again. In our state of busyness, we simply consider this to be our way of life. Then we come to church on a Sunday morning, and our statement of being claims something else, another way of life. One not burdened by the fantasies and misguided imagination of mental work. Our desire is to be consciously one with this perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance. So we begin by lifting our view of life above that human eye of sight and judgment. God created the individual and gave him dominion. He has given this man intelligence, intuition, and inspiration. We want to be that man of God, that individual who was given dominion. However, let us also remember the promise that we find in Scripture. I will be a God unto you according to your heart. In other words, according to our feeling nature. We give our attention to whatever we feel is true. Of course, we have all sorts of good intellectual ideas, metaphysical theories, but they really do not amount to anything unless we demonstrate them. We claim to be one with God and all that belongs to that name. However, until we know us as that self, we will not manifest the fruit assigned to that name. We claim that God is all, the only presence and the only power. It is time that we who are claiming that this is so, look directly at ourselves and realize that the power of attention is the law on this plane of existence. What we give our attention to gets us. We do not and we cannot demonstrate beyond our attitude of acceptance. When we steadily direct our loving attention toward the good, the true, the desirable, the beautiful, our environment has got to change, for it is nothing more than an outpicturing of our state of consciousness. The power of beholding is like a magnet. A magnet will always attract metal. Now, the power of individual attention is a magnet. It will attract not only what we say, what we want, but always what we accept to be so. What we believe about life and ourselves. Remember, I will be a God unto you according to your heart, according to your feeling nature and your attitude of acceptance. Sometimes the God that we worship and bow down to is not our Father which art in heaven. In this world there are many graven images, many false gods, and the temptation is to accept them, giving power where it does not belong. Let us get back to our consciousness. We may define a certain individual as a loser. He can go to Chicago, or San Francisco, or Hong Kong, or Rio, and keep right on losing. He takes his consciousness with him. Individuals may change jobs, they may get married and divorced, or move across the country, and they still find themselves in the same place. They did not change their consciousness, and their attitude of acceptance has remained the same. Working in this way, they fall victim to the law of the magnet, continuing to attract after its kind. But let us remember that the power of attention and the law of attraction are merely mechanical laws. We can use them or manipulate them according to our personal desire and intent. The only influence they really have over us is the authority that we give them. Let us be mindful of where we place our focus and to what it is we give our attention. The individual, the one who gives his love and his attention to truth and harmony, to security and well-being, he might find himself in a wasteland, in a desert. But he will dig a well, and his desert will blossom as a rose. We must begin by loving that which God has created, and seeing as God sees, and by knowing that which God knows. Jesus said, "If your eye is single, your body will be full of light." Let us look at that. If our attention becomes single to the truth, then what can the body do but shine? And I consider this important information. You see, many of us give our attention first to the body. And yet, Scripture tells us that the body is subject to the light of inner being. Let us turn our attention inwardly and allow those added things to simply fall into place. All power in heaven and earth is given unto the Son, the God-man. And that God-man idea is in each one of us. We are all the embodiment called Christ or truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Back to our statement of being. The question for us is, how do we consciously become one with this perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance? We may believe that this is so. We may profess that, yes, indeed, this definitely is the truth of us. This is really a first step. And while it is inspiring and helpful, it does not go nearly far enough. Simply professing something with our words will not do it. Truth must be a personal experience, which is why it is given to the heart of man, where it is sensed and it is felt. When we hear it in us, we call it revelation, and we know without a doubt that it is so. Remember the words, I will be a God unto you according to your heart. How do we get to this place of receptivity and acceptance? Well, our key word is love. Fall in love with God's perfect ideal. And what might that be? The radiant, glorious body, the happy home, the successful career and vocation, harmonious and satisfying relationships. Fall in love with the ideal enough to begin living it and expressing it. Love life itself. When we first begin to work in this way, we may have a little difficulty controlling our attention. You see, in the past, when we did our work strictly in the mental realm, we gave our attention free rein, allowing it to wander here and there and all over the place. However, now, in order for us to be successful, our attention must obey our instruction, our guidance, our direction, and above all, us. Our focus and our attention must be subservient to us. Power and dominion are given to us from on high. Let us not give them away. When we find our attention turning to that which we do not want, we must nip it in the bud. Do not wait for God to do it for you. We must do it ourselves. He's already given us everything that we will need. He's given us his sound mind. He's given us his power. He has given us dominion over all of the earth and everything in it. We are not puppets relying on someone else to pull our strings. We are not robots programmed to work in a particular way. There is no outside force available to do anything for us. Even though that movie Star Wars would have us believe otherwise, we must cooperate. We must become the force individualized. I am that I am is our true name. I have prepared a table of spiritual refreshment before you, and the invitation is given. Enter in, eat, and be filled. Now, I know this is a challenge. It really is. But you know, I have found it to be so exciting. I am so grateful for the Divine Science teaching. So grateful for all those men and women who gave me inspiration. I am grateful for the books that we read and discuss in the Tuesday evening prayer and study group. Those authors, They speak of their own study, their own revelation. And then they urge us to turn within, to discover our own. I am so grateful I could see with my own eyes and hear with my own ears what had happened to them. And learn how this teaching, the knowledge of God, awaits my discovery and my cooperation. Sometimes we refer to our practice and study as lessons. Every lesson that we share involves our willingness to make that lesson practical to us in a particular way. Now, to make something practical is to apply it in our daily lives, to be so alive to it that, yes, it becomes our way of life. And you see, that is the purpose of the study, to have the spiritual way of life our way of life. It is true that we can think about God. We can talk about God. We can philosophize and theorize about truth, reaching conclusions about what it might be. Now, this activity, it does bring a certain degree of satisfaction. However, it is merely scratching the surface of life, not going nearly deep enough for true significance. Divine science reveals a spiritual side of life, and that man of flesh and blood will not know of this life. The one who is versed in spiritual ideals will be in this world, but not of it. He will walk this earth plane much as Jesus did, as a light unto this world, and not governed by the laws made by man. While we may contemplate and ponder about God, the teaching is not merely a mental exercise, satisfying the intellect with its desire to know through logic and reason. Now, there really is nothing wrong with logic and reason. However, they belong to the head and not to the heart. The God we want is the God that we feel and sense in our heart. Nor is divine science merely a philosophy or theory, a speculation or assumption. It takes us beyond gossip and rumor, revealing what is absolute, true, and certain. When I began preparing for today's lesson, I gave a great deal of thought about that word power. What exactly was it? And where does it belong? Now, a simple definition of the word power is the ability to act or produce an effect. That just about sums it up. And when we apply it to the world, we do many things with it, sending it here and there. We give power to the weather, to storms, tornadoes, and hurricanes. We give power to germs and disease. We give power to the physical might of nations with weapons and bombs. We give power to thoughts and words, allowing them to either heal or hurt. We give power to the boss or to the government, to those who make decisions and rule over us. We give power to what others have to say about us. Now, considering all of this information, I felt certain that I had more than enough material to develop a Sunday lesson on power. Then I remembered, the title of my lesson is not power, but rather it is One Power. Well, that narrows it down a wee bit. To find this one power, I realized I had to take it out of the world with its various definitions and vast applications. The power defined by the world It changes according to the season, to the personality in charge at the moment, and to the latest invention of missiles and weapons. Yes, I would have to leave the world alone in order to discover a power worthy of the title, the One Power. I took my study to Scripture. In 2 Timothy 1:7, we read, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God gives these things to our heart, to the feeling nature of man. We may consider them as gifts. All good gifts come down from heaven. Paul also reminds Timothy to stir up that gift of God. We cherish God's many gifts, but we must also use them, express them, and put them into practice. To stir up the gifts of God, we must pay attention to them, to be aware of them and express them. And again, we speak of the need to practice. The sound mind shows best how to use the gifts. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." However, he also said, "I of myself can do nothing." This is quite clear. All power begins and belongs to God. Man of himself can do nothing. However, when he stirs up the power in him, the power in him will express, for it is the Father within that doeth the work. It takes practice to live and express what is given to the heart of man. It really does. This is not a conversation. It is not merely a matter of reading a book and saying, "How lovely." It is taking it out of the book and living it. It acknowledges that infinity dwells within, and we must allow it to escape. With this kind of practice, it will not be too long before we notice that things come into our experience which prove to us that we have gained some of the dominion that we may have given away in our time of mental work. The world does not treat us in quite the same way. Our God is the God of our heart, and our feeling nature eagerly accepts its power over all things. We may still be in this world, and oh yes, we will enjoy what it has to offer. We may use all of its good, and we should, and yet not be dependent on it, or in many ways not even desire it. However, as it takes place in our experience, we may just simply stand by and let it be of help and assistance. The only power knows what to do, and this is this method of activity and expression. We are free from the burdens of that human sense of life, of the body, of the pocketbook, and the circumstances. Our God is a God according to our heart, and we are not the same. This morning we have the opportunity to know us as God knows us. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? In the stillness of this moment, we are aware of the nearness and the nowness of God. Time stands still. When we give recognition to the presence of God, we feel and sense in an inward way. We go beyond thought and appearance. God created everything, and he called it by name, his name. Man identifies according to belief and opinion, naming things in a personal way, but God knows us as his own. There is no other self or being. We are all of the household of God. And we may claim the power given to that name. The message is, if you ask in my name, it is done unto you. Man of himself does not have the authority or the ability to act in this way. Dominion was given to Christ, dominion over all of the earth and everything in it. Let us not give it away to that man of dust, the one of flesh and blood. All power comes from on high. Every good gift comes down from heaven. Be still, listen, and obey. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.